What's up, Basketball Nation? This is Eddie Aparicio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Anthony Tuan Corral. And this is Buzzer Beaters, a podcast that's dedicated to basketball with an emphasis on the NBA. And we are brought to you by GremlingsMedia.com. You can find us on GremlingsMedia.com. You can also find us on any popular podcast outlets that you can think of, such as Spotify, Google, Pandora, X, Facebook, Apple, you name it, you can find us. Just go ahead and make sure you punch up Gremlings Media or Buzzer Beaters. Anyway, this is episode 44, Twan. We are at episode 44. Willie McCovey. Yeah, exactly, man. So, and by the way, just to remind the audience, we're here live every Wednesday. Well, we intended to be live for the last three or four weeks. I've been having issues, man. It's been work getting in the way. And then my computer, right? I had to get a computer because my company was cracking down on, you know, mixing personal with business kind of stuff. So I had to get a new computer, and the first computer just couldn't handle it. It couldn't handle a live stream, man. So then Twan kind of looked it up, told me what kind of computer to get. So I went to go get it, and this is my first time using it, man. So looks like it's working fine. No issues.
You're looking smooth, brother.
Looking smooth right now, bro. So anyway, but we're here live every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Every Wednesday, because we want to hear from you. We want to get your questions, your comments. Sometimes you guys have been very active. Other times you guys have been kind of just, you know, listening in, and that's okay too. But we definitely get a lot of viewership after this launches the very next day on the platforms of various podcast outlets. So, but anyway, what we're going to go ahead and do is we typically go over about an hour, typically in about an hour to an hour and 20 minutes. Sometimes we go to an hour and 30, but we've never broken more than an hour and 30 minutes. So, let's just keep it that way, Twan, right? But anyway, this week what we're going to go ahead and cover, we're going to go ahead and talk about the play-ins, the playoffs, and play-ins. Twan and I are also going to make some predictions because we have a little bracket that we did last week. We, you know, kind of kept track of a little scoring system. You know, we kind of assigned points based on how many games they played. And if we correctly predict how many games the series is going to go, that's extra points. So we're going to go ahead and do that after we talk about the East and West play-in and playoff scenarios. And then we're going to talk about some of the coaching vacancies that came up, right? There's some firings right now. It all started with Taylor Jenkins, then went to Mike Malone and Mike Budenholzer. We'll go ahead and talk a little bit about that. And then we're pretty much going to end the segment talking about the 10 teams that didn't make the playoffs. We're going to go ahead and go over a quick review of each of the teams, kind of determine whether or not they're good enough as it is, or just need more time and experience together, or they need a lot more help. We're going to go ahead and go through that. So anyway, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and let's get in. Well, Twan, before I get into it, what's been going on, man? What's been going on with you, bro?
Like you, bro, work's been crazy. Just been like early morning meetings, late afternoon meetings, you know, just kind of stretching my clock. But other than that, it's all been kind of, I've been on overdrive, you know, but on cruise control, but overdrive. So everything's been good.
I hear you, bro.
How about you? How's things been with you?
You know, it's been good, man. I mean, thankfully, it's been good. You know, I got to tell you, my daughter's flying in tonight, man. So after this podcast, I mean, she's flying into Oakland. She's going to get on the flight around 7:30. I was just kind of helping her to get on the Uber and all that stuff right before we got on this podcast. But, yeah, she's going to come in for the Easter Sunday. So we're going to go to my sister's house up in Ione, which is near Jackson, California. I don't know if you know where that's at, bro, but I didn't know where Ione was until my sister moved there. So, yeah. But, yeah, so we're going to do that Easter Sunday. She's going to be here until Sunday. And then, you know, she's getting out of school due to May 14th. Can you believe that? She's getting out of school already for her first year.
She'll no longer be a freshman, huh?
No longer going to be a freshman, man. And she did her own taxes this year for first time, right? I mean, we don't do it ourselves. I mean, we hire people. We have to go ahead and put all this stuff together and make sure that she does everything. So that's great, man. It's a trip seeing your kids grow up, bro. I got to tell you, man.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Might have been doing their taxes for a couple of years now. Again, we just call the dude. You figure it out. Do what you got to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't remind me of taxes, bro. I don't know about you, but Trump's kicking my butt this year, bro. I'll tell you that thing.
Oh, dude, you know, I've been getting hit up left and right with all kinds of expenses, right? And just like, then the tax man comes and says, you got to pay. I'm like, what the hell? I didn't even count on paying this much, right? So I'm paying this year too, man.
I'm paying more this year than I've ever paid in my life, bro.
Really?
It's not even close, bro. I just leave it at that.
Let me ask you this. What's the most you've ever had to pay, bro?
This year.
How much do you have to pay?
Dude, I'm embarrassed to tell you how much you're paying this year.
Is it more than 10 grand?
Yes.
Oh, dude, that's a lot, dude.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So if you subtract what I get back from state,
yeah,
it's I'm paying 16.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, dude, man. So
I am
bitching and moaning about $2,000, dude. I have to pay $2,000.
I reached out to the accountant, and I'm like, yo, what the hell, bro?
Oh, you know? My God.
So, I don't know what happened, dude, but it's never been.
Comes collecting, bro.
It's never been remotely that high, Eddie. Never.
Dude, that's crazy, dude.
Yes.
That's crazy. Real quick.
Yes.
Since we're talking about taxes, one thing I want to bring up that I didn't know, I just want to learn this. I just learned this. And for those of you out there probably know this as well, but you know that property taxes, you know that the maximum that you can deduct is $10,000. I don't know if you knew that, right? So no matter how many properties you have, let's say you have multiple, you know, rental properties or, you know, a home and a second home, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
The max you can go ahead and deduct is $10,000 on property taxes. That's the first time I ever heard that. And I'm like, no way. Because here I am thinking, about, you know, I can get some kind of a tax break from my mom. Yeah, in my mom's house in San Francisco, you know, because that, dude, the property taxes for that, it's like almost like $11,400 a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the one that I have over here is, you know, roughly about the same here in Pleasanton, right? So it's like, dude, I'm paying a lot in taxes per year, man. So I thought maybe I'd get some kind of like a shield, a tax shield for that. Nope. $10,000 is the max that you can go ahead and do.
Kicking your butt, dude. Kicking our butt.
Dude, totally, man. Dude, sorry to hear that, bro. Man, so let me ask, have you had to pay every year, or is it pretty much just for the anomaly?
About 2 years ago was the first year I paid. Okay. And it wasn't that much. And then last year was a little more, and then this year did a jump. So
Did you sell some stock, bro?
Yeah, my wife did. Yeah.
That's what it is, bro.
That's what's kicked my ass, yeah.
That's what it is, bro. Shoot, man. Well, hey, man. Sorry to hear that.
For those of you out there,
the tax season is pretty much, it's here, right? I mean, everything was due yesterday, but, you know, a lot of us filed for extensions, including me, right? So, you know, as far as having to pay that bill, you know, they definitely want you to pay that bill right away, bro, you know? Yeah. So,
but they don't refund you, but they don't refund you right away.
Yeah, exactly.
Funny how that is, huh?
Isn't that funny, dude? Isn't that funny, man? So. All right, brother. So, hey, let's get into it, bro. All right. So, last night we had, the first play-in games happen, between the Orlando Magic and the Atlanta Hawks. Yes. And then followed by the Warriors and Memphis Grizzlies. Now, what's interesting is that, you know, the Hawks, I thought we were a pretty hot team coming into it, right? Mm-hmm. But they got spanked, dude. I mean, the Magic essentially pretty much handled their business. You know, they played at home for the most part and, you know, and the thing is that they just looked like they were more desperate, man. A Magic looked like they were ready to play, man. And Banchero was playing like a distributor. He almost had a triple-double last night.
Yep.
But the main contributors from there were from the bench, right? They had Cole Anthony and Anthony Black. Those two guys essentially made up a lot for, you know, not having for Banchero and Franz Wagner not to initially have the whole scoring load on them. But those guys went off, dude. And them not having Jalen Suggs didn't hurt him, dude, because Jalen Suggs, you know, he's out for the season, but he's usually the guy that guards Trae Young, right? Because he's long, he's athletic. And Trae Young, even if he didn't have Jalen Suggs in there, he was like a dud. He has a really inefficient night, bro. He shot 8 for 21 for the entire game, right? And he's 1 for 5 from three-pointer. If Trae Young's not going, dude, the Atlanta Hawks are not doing anything, bro. So.
No, he was clearly frustrated. As you saw it towards the end of the game, he got kicked out. Orlando really, really, you know, they're not only like big, like height wise, but they're like thick. They're like a thick team, you know.
The Orlando Magic.
Yeah, the Orlando Magic. And they were really using that heft, you know, like you could really see them kind of, you know, Reese Arce is a pretty thin guy, you know, a couple other guys that got down low are pretty thin. And these guys are just like thick, you know. And so I really saw them leveraging because I look at Orlando and they didn't particularly shoot great. They had a good start. But towards the middle, they were kind of, you know, whatever. They had some lack of runs. I think I want to say it was the second or third quarter where, like, 75% through the quarter, Orlando had scored, like, 6 points or something. In the whole quarter. And Atlanta still couldn't catch them.
Exactly, dude. Because, you know, Orlando is an elite defensive team, dude, right?
I mean,
you know, the metrics say it. They're, like, I think number 2 or number 3 in overall defensive rating. And their offensive rating is ridiculous, like 27 or 28 range. I don't know exactly what it is right now. I mean, we don't have anything to refer to it right now. But, it's kind of like that much of a disparity between their offense efficiency and their defensive efficiency, but they're definitely elite, and their length and their girth definitely comes into play for defense, and they play with a lot of, like, you know, passion, grit. They just do. They're just that's what they're made of. Their team is made up of just defensive oriented guys, man. Yep. So they're impressive, man. So
yeah.
But now, you know, what's going to happen now is that they're going to go up against the Celtics, right? They're going up against the Celtics. And interestingly enough, the Magic, they're 2-1 against the Celtics this year, right? So, you know, we'll see. That could be an interesting series. So
that could be. I mean, you really get a defensive squad. You know, obviously Boston's a good defensive team, but they're also an excellent three-point shooting team. Yep. The Orlando is not an excellent three-point shooting team. So I think that one, I mean – you got to get, if Boston can maintain their average on what they shoot from 3-point, that should be a runaway. But if Orlando finds a way to shut that down, they can make it a competitive series. You know, yeah. I'm always weary of defensive teams because they can really muck with the other team's flow.
Oh, for sure.
And you know, and cause some havoc. You know, I know we're going to get into predictions later, but yeah, it's going to be an interesting series, and it's going to be a series that I think Boston wins, but I would be weary of how tired they are coming out of that series for their next opponent.
You talking about the Magic?
Correct. I'd be weary. I think Boston's going to win, right? I mean, I'm not saying anything, but I think Orlando could wear them down so that.
Oh, impacts, I hear you. Yeah, I hear you.
It impacts the next series. You know, so
yeah,
Boston
yeah, yeah,
be a little
yeah, yeah,
more
yeah,
tired
yeah.
And beaten down than they normally would be if they had, you know, someone that was a little easier.
Well, if Boston shoots well, they're going to win. If they don't shoot well, they're going to be in a dogfight with the Orlando.
Correct.
Magic, right?
Correct.
So we'll make our predictions later.
Yep.
We're not going to do it now, but that's going to be an interesting series. We'll go ahead and make a pick on that. Now, up next with the Hawks, though, because they're they're the eighth seed, right? So they have to.
Correct.
They're playing the winner of tonight's game between the Bulls and the Heat. And what's interesting is that the Bulls are just getting their butts kicked, man.
They are.
They were getting beat by 24 points at halftime.
Yeah.
Man.
Correct. And they're down 78-63 right now.
Okay, so they've come back a little bit, man.
A little bit, but that's still, you know.
78-63 is 15 points. Not bad.
Yeah.
So
no, not bad, but that's still, you know, it's the third quarter.
And they're playing at home, dude. And the Bulls, and what's interesting is that the Bulls, you know, they had some success against the Heat. They were 3-0 against the Heat in the regular season. The Bulls were. Yeah. And then the Heat just—I mean, it's tough to beat a team four games in a row, right? It's tough in a series, in a playoff series, in a regular season. It's just hard. And you know that adage is proven to be true because the Heat are just taking it to the Bulls right now, man. But anyway, so they're going to play the Hawks are going to play the winner of that, and more than likely it's going to be the Heat. And the Hawks are essentially 2-1 against the Heat, so that's going to be interesting to see what happens if that happens or when that happens, right? So. All right, so anything else on the Magic?
Yeah, I mean, assuming, what's that? Go ahead. What was that?
No, I was going to say, anything else on the Magic and the Hawks before we move on to the next game?
No. I mean, nothing else on the Magic and the Hawks. I expect Atlanta should come out of that against Miami if that's who they face. You know, as long as Trey there has a somewhat of a good game, they should do okay, and they should come out of that, and then they're going to obviously face Cleveland and – we'll talk about that down the road, but
yeah, exactly. All right, man. So now we go on to the West play-in game that happened between the Warriors, our Warriors, and the Memphis Grizzlies, and that was a gritty game, man. I mean, that game was down to the wire, and it should have been, man. The Warriors, I thought, were just kind of playing lackadaisical after a while. They were just kind of like, "Eh, we got this," kind of like they do, you know. They tempt fate sometimes, bro, right? They just kind of they tempt it sometimes, man. It's like, what are you doing, dude? Just play hard like you did, because they were killing them for a while. And then, dude, and playoff Jimmy's a real thing, bro.
Play-in Jimmy right now, but yeah.
Play-in Jimmy, yeah. But, dude, I mean, he had 38 points, 6 assists, 7 rebounds, and 3 steals. That's a huge game, man.
Huge game.
But what's interesting is that both Curry and Butler played 39 and 40 minutes respectively. 39 minutes and 40 minutes is a lot for both of those guys. And because, you know, Butler's 35, Curry's 37, so they're up there in age, man. They can't be doing that every night.
But I think the trade-off there was play, you know, 9 to 10 minutes more now and get 5 days off.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what it is.
Yeah.
But that's also, But that's also kind of telling you that some other guys on the team weren't really playing that well, all right? So yeah. We know that Pajemski didn't necessarily have a great game at all. Thankfully, Gary Payton and Quinton Post showed up because those guys definitely contributed from a scoring punch because Pods, Moody, and Heald just couldn't shoot, man. They just had really bad nights, right? So, and what's interesting is Kuminga hasn't even played, man. So
I don't know what's going on there. I mean, you know, you and I, whether it's been on the show or whether it's been during lunch, we've had a lot of conversations. We have a lot of different perspectives on Kuminga. And right. One of the things that I've always questioned is his basketball IQ. I'm not trying to say he's a dumb guy. I'm just saying that when I watch him play, his natural feel for the game always seems off. You know, if it requires a pass, it looks like he's trying to drive. If it requires him to drive, it looks like he's trying to dish. Like it always seems off from everybody else. And I think that is the primary reason why Kerr doesn't trust him. Like he just, he doesn't think Kuminga's going to do the right thing at the right time. And
he doesn't do all the little things that Kerr wants out of a player. You know, he doesn't do all the hustle plays because he has the athleticism to be like a really good defender as well as a very good rebounder. I mean, the Warriors turned Wiggins into both of those things, really, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Wiggins was already a very athletic guy, but kind of showed kind of some nonchalant to his game. Like, he just kind of didn't show up sometimes. But when he showed up and engaged, man, that guy was unbelievable defensively, man. He's a defensive threat. And that's what Kerr wants, is that he wants Kuminga to be kind of following the same, you know, a suit as Andrew Wiggins did, right? Because he could rebound well for his, you know, for his girth. And this guy's even bigger. Kuminga's even a bigger guy than
stronger,
than
bigger, than more Wiggins, athletic. Right? Yep.
Probably more athletic because Wiggins is a pretty athletic guy, man.
I'd give the nod to Kuminga.
I agree with you. So, but the thing is that he's just not doing all the little things, right? He's too focused on his own game. Like, he's too focused on trying to overpower his on a one-on-one play, you know, on a one-on-one basis. He's trying to overpower his defender from an offensive standpoint. He's not initially doing the team thing and passing, looking for the right play. He's just too focused on himself, and I think that's why he's not getting the time.
And the other thing, too, is I think what's really hurt him, aside from the fact that he was hurt when Butler joined the team, but Butler, in essence, plays the same areas, not the same way, but he plays the same area of the court that Kuminga would need to play.
Yeah.
And so that really has eliminated the use for Kuminga, right? Because who'd you rather have, you know, in that area, Butler or Kuminga? And obviously the answer is Butler. Butler plays strong defense.
That's what he did last night. Hell yeah.
Yeah, he's a better facilitator. He's better in every aspect except not as athletic. That's really it, you know? And I think that's really hurt him. And when he hurt his ankle, you know, they didn't get a period of time to find the rhythm. And I find it ironic that, you know, up until the last four or five games where they were must-win games, you know, Kerr was putting him in the rotation, and he was putting him in right at a regular interval, you know, right around the first couple of minutes of the second quarter. And, you know, Kuminga would come in, and they're kind of figuring it out. But when things got tight, Kerr's like, yeah, Kuminga, you're out. Like, I can't, you know, I don't trust you. And to show that, you look at someone like Moses Moody, right, who you and I have had a lot of conversations about. You know, I'm a big Moses Moody fan.
Me too.
But the thing about Moses Moody was that I felt when I was watching him that his weakest aspect was his defense. He's kind of slow.
Like elite now, bro.
Exactly. His side to side speed, you know, wasn't that great. You know, his lateral movement wasn't great. And now he's a starter. You know, they have an excellent record when he starts. You know, his offense is still here and there. It's not where I think it could be, but defensively, that dude is, you know, they put him on the point guard. He's picking pockets on Ja Morant. He's making life hard, you know, for everybody. And lo and behold, he's playing. And that's there in a nutshell is a blueprint. Kuminga, you want to play, do what Moody's doing.
I agree, man. And the thing is that Guy Santos is another guy that just
– another one.
Up, right?
Yep.
And that's what Kerr wants out of Kuminga. He just wants Kuminga to focus on the little things first. He already knows that he's a really good offensive player when he's, you know, when he has a matchup, you know, mismatch, right?
Correct.
He definitely is. He's very athletic and explosive. But Kerr wants him to be an all-around player, and you have to be an all-around player to play in the Warriors system. The read and react system is probably a little bit too much for him right now.
Yeah.
I think the writing's on the wall now, bro. If this guy doesn't get in the playoffs and do something, I think he's gone, bro. So.
Well, that's the part that I'm really curious about. Do the Warriors just let him walk for whatever anybody signs, or do they try to do a sign and trade? You know, I saw a little rumor, nothing worth mentioning, but, you know, that Miami might be interested and the Warriors could maybe do a sign and trade for someone like Tyler Hero, you know, something like that.
Wow.
But I don't know if that's true or not. You know,
I don't think the salaries match up, bro.
No, but that's the thing. Kuminga's a free agent. You could sign Kuminga whatever you need to match Hero and then swap it.
Oh, I get you. I get you.
Yeah, so the Warriors sign Kuminga for whatever that contract is, and then they make the trade.
I got you. I got you.
Yeah, so whether or not – but I agree with you. It's not – it's going to be a curious offseason for the Warriors and Kuminga, because if the Warriors want to match whatever anybody offers him, he has to stay – he has to sign with the Warriors. He has no choice.
Right.
The question is, who's going to offer him anything? And right now, the only two teams that have cap space, I believe, are like the Nets and some other kind of, sub 500 team. I don't remember who the other team is. Are they interested in him? Is he the kind of guy they want to build on? And if he's not even playing in the playoffs with a Steph Curry-led team, like, do you really want him? Are you really going to offer him $30 million a year? I mean, who's going to offer him that?
Right, I know. Interesting, man.
Correct, and then you look at someone like Franz Wagner, you know, that was in the same draft class as Kuminga, and I believe he's making around $24 million a year. And I ask you right now, Eddie, in a heartbeat, who would you rather have, Wagner or Kuminga?
Yeah, Wagner. Right?
I'd rather have Wagner.
It was like Wagner, but yeah.
Wagner. Yeah. I'd rather have Wagner at his $24
million. Yeah, I know. And the Warriors had a chance to take him, but they didn't.
Yeah, you could consider that a missed opportunity. But
what I'm saying is
he's not even in the $30 million range, and he's currently a superior player. Kuminga's a superior athlete. Wagner is a superior player currently.
Right. Yeah. I agree with you, bro.
Yeah.
Before we get too Warriors heavy, I want to go to the Memphis first, and then we'll come back to the Warriors, because I want to ask you a question, right? So real quick, the Memphis Grizzlies – are awaiting the winner of tonight's game between the Mavericks and the Kings. All right. Now, what's interesting is that, you know, Memphis is 2-2 against the Mavs in the regular season, and they're 1-2 against the Kings. So either way, it's going to be a dogfight. And, you know, Memphis fired their coach, right? That's going to be our next segment.
Correct.
We can talk about that, but, you know, they fired their coach, Taylor Jenkins, you know, right before the playoffs. And that was kind of like, what are you guys doing? But we'll talk about that more. But anyway, the guys who actually played really well for the Memphis Grizzlies, Desmond Bain, dude. Desmond Bain had a game, dude. I mean, he was going off, dude.
He was hot.
And he was hot, man. And he was, you know, he's 5-for-8 from 3-point land. He was 11-for-21 from the field. You know, Zach Edey is another guy who played very well, right? I mean, the guy had 17 rebounds, 14 points and 17 rebounds from their center. Jaren Jackson had a decent game, but it was inefficient. You know, he actually shot, like, I think it was, like, really, really bad. I don't even know exactly what the line was, but he didn't actually have an efficient night. Jaren Jackson didn't. So
no, he played poorly, and I
– he was 6-for-15 shooting is what it was.
Yeah, but it was not only his playing. His demeanor was, like, he had that James Wiseman look, you know, like almost like he's about to cry, you know.
Oh, right.
And I don't mean he was doing that. But he's got this, like, super sourpuss look on his face. Like, I'm confused. I don't know what's going on. And, dude, you're like – I could argue he's the leader of that team. Given the things that John Morant has gone through, all of the, you know, suspensions and everything, I could argue that Triple J is the leader of that team. And I just – he wants to be a guard. He keeps playing on the perimeter. Like, dude, you're a large human being, bro.
Yeah.
And you're an athlete. You need to, like, play the low post. And when it comes to Edey, you know, this is one of the things, you know, that – even though Edey had a good game, I could argue that he hurt them more than helped them in that particular game, right? Because Post kept bringing him out. Other players kept bringing him out, you know, because he kept
exposing. Yep.
Correct. They kept abusing him on defense. And I'm curious if someone like Jenkins would have noticed that and considered a different approach versus the coach they have now that didn't really – he kind of kept going, all right, keep Edey in there. And no, Edey had a pretty good game. I mean, he scored a lot of points and a lot of rebounds, but I think that he might have hurt them more than helped them in for the totality of that game.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that, you know, even with that adjustment that maybe Taylor Jenkins could have done, right, and subbing Edey out, maybe put someone more athletic like Isante Aldama, right?
Yep.
That guy's a good player, too, out of Spain.
Yeah.
You know, put him as a center, right, and have a more agile center, and, you know, against teams like the Warriors who play small ball, right?
Correct.
But, you know, the thing is that, you know, even with eating, not in the, you know, not doing exactly what, you know, he wasn't in the best position to guard people at times.
Correct.
They still made it a pretty close game, man.
No, they did. And, you know, we can get into it, you know, whether or not they made it a good game or whether the Warriors took the foot off the gas.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. But yeah.
Yeah, we can have that discussion. You know, obviously they missed their rookie. He's out for the year now. Was it Jalen Wells? Is that his name?
Oh, Jalen Wells, yeah.
Yeah, Jalen Wells.
He's the guy who guarded Curry. He's the one who
beat out for Curry. I think they missed him significantly, and for I sure. think they will miss him in the playoffs going forward significantly. But, right. You know, I just think that there's a couple of moves they could have done. Edie not playing, especially, you know, because – you know, who are the Warriors going to counter with, you know, if they take KD out? Post? Okay, just have someone Triple J can guard post, you know, things like that. You don't really got to worry guarding Draymond on the offensive side. You know, you can lay off of him. So I just, you know, to me, I would have played KD less just because of the matchups with the Warriors. They're too small. They're pulling him too much away from the basket. You know, it just wasn't a good matchup for KD, even though he did have a good game.
Yeah, and you know what? Also, the refs kind of came into play a little bit too, man. And, dude, this is the question I wanted to ask you before we move on to the next segment. Dude, what is it with the refs and Steph Curry? They just do not respect them, dude. They didn't. I mean, he gets fouled as much as James Harden, but yet James Harden essentially sells it to the refs, and therefore he gets the calls, right? Curry doesn't try and sell it to the refs.
That's not him.
He doesn't try and sell it.
Therein lies the problem, I think.
That is the problem, dude. It's like he's not trying to sell the refs, and that's the problem. The refs shouldn't be trying to get sold. They should be, like, seeing it, and no matter who's doing it, a foul's a foul. Doesn't matter how it looks, a foul's a foul, bro. And that's a problem, man. And, you know, I sent you a video about, you know, someone talking about all the, you know, why is there so much disrespect for the Curry, right? And he took it to a level of, you know, it could be Under Armour versus Nike, right? And
that kind of thing, right? Yeah.
I don't know, because we know that the NBA, you know, is pretty much, you know, Nike's pretty much, you know, they have a lot of influence, you know, in the NBA and vice versa, right? So who knows, man? It could be that. But, dude, it's getting out of hand, bro. I mean, Curry's got the scratches to prove it that he's getting fouled every freaking game, dude. And it's annoying that the rest don't do anything.
I agree. Although last night I would say that the Warriors, I mean, I think between Curry and Butler, they shot like something like 38 free throws. So they did get some calls last night.
Yeah.
The refs are, in fact, in this next series with Houston, they're going to be a big factor. If they're, you know, swallow the whistles, as it were, you know, during that game, it's going to impact negatively more the Warriors than it will.
Oh, for sure. For sure, man. And they have a bunch of guys that are gritty defenders on that team right now, right? And especially like a Dylan Brooks, right? We know Dylan Brooks and the Warriors, there's no love lost in between those two guys, the organization and Dylan Brooks. So it's going to be interesting to see, man. But that's going to be a really interesting series. I mean, the Warriors have the edge in the season series where they won 3-2, right? So with the last game being the only game that wasn't really close, all the other games, you know, the Warriors did pretty well, or it was just very close. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens, man. So, all right. So, dude, let's go ahead and get into our predictions. That's a good segue, right? Let's go ahead and do it. We have – so, Twan and I don't know, bro. Would you be able to edit as we do this?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, all right. So, let's go ahead and you got the – all right. Hopefully, we can zoom that in a little bit, bro.
If I zoom it in anymore, we're going to kill some of the picture, just so you know.
Okay. You know what? Maybe we'll just focus – on yours first, all right?
Okay,
so all right. You go ahead and – so for the Thunder, so right now on the outside, you can see that I have the Kings versus the Mavs, right? And then Memphis waiting. That's why they're not in the block, right? Same with the Heat and the Bulls, you know, on the other side. They're in the play-in. They're waiting to see what happens, you know, against the Hawks before they determine to go against the number eight seed, right? But regardless of that, bro, we're just going to go ahead and make some predictions. Like we did last year, bro, we went ahead and picked the winner. But then we also picked in how many games that winner was going to go ahead and win that the series, right? And we get we assign points based on that as well. So if you get the pick right, you get a point. If you get the amount of games right, we're going to go ahead and make that 2 points, bro. All right?
Okay. Okay.
So if you get because that's a better prediction, right? Honestly, if you get the game down to the game, that's even better. So we're going to make it 1 point if you get it right. And then 2 points if you get the amount of games. So we're going to go ahead and – you know what you do, bro? Let's go ahead and do that. Okay, Thunder 5. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say Thunder in 4.
Cool, you're going for the sweep, huh?
Absolutely, bro, absolutely. Okay, so then Okay, so then the next one, we go to the let's go to the other side. Let's go to the Cavs and Bulls. We'll go that way. We'll go, you know, down the line.
Okay, Cavs and Bulls. Okay. So this could be the Bulls, Heat, or Hawks. Yep. I'm going to stick with Cavs in five as well.
Okay, I am going to go ahead and say Cavs in four. All right.
Man, you are going smoke job all over the place.
Yeah,
all
for right. sure, for sure. Even those two, they're elite, man. So let's go up to the next. Let's go up to yours again. So let's go back to the Clippers Nuggets. Now this is the series, dude. This is going to be the series to watch, man. I want to see what you pick. I'm all right. You say Clippers in six. I'm saying Clippers in seven.
Okay.
All right, man. So we got to say, dude, the Clippers are a problem, dude. They are a problem.
They are a serious problem, Eddie.
Oh yeah, yeah. And the Clippers, you know, the season series, it was 2-2 between the Clippers and the Nuggets, right?
Yeah.
So that's interesting. It's going to be a very, very good series. I think that's going to be the series to watch in the first round. All right.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the Bucks and Pacers. This is another interesting one, bro, because, you know, the Bucks won the season series 3-1 over the Pacers.
All right. And
that's interesting.
Damon Lillard is still hurt.
Yeah, he's not playing.
I'm going Pacers in seven.
You going Pacers in seven?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, and I would say because of Lillard not being there, I'm also going to say Pacers in seven. So there's not going to be a difference in there. All right. I agree with you, bro.
All right.
So now let's go across to the Wolves and Lakers.
This is the one, dude. Because obviously offensively and star power, the Lakers have it. But the you know, I'll tell you something, Eddie. You know,
the Wolves are hot right now, bro.
They are, but you know, I see. Obviously, we see, and we said this on many shows. We see the NBA through the prism of the Warriors. And the last game the Warriors played the Lakers, I was pretty shocked at how porous their defense was.
The
Lakers' defense was like non-existent.
Yeah.
And so that has me leaning towards the Wolves, right? But Luka. If I just take Luka out of the equation. Last year, Luka owned the Wolves in the Western Conference Finals.
Yep.
You know, he pretty much won that. I mean, he was averaging at like almost 30 points a game, I think, in that series. So then I look at that and I'm going, all right, he can succumb. So I'm kind of like torn. So I'm gonna go Lakers in seven.
Okay. I'm going to go Wolves in seven.
All right, Wolves in seven.
I'm taking the Wolves, man.
And I think they're
playing very well right now. I think nobody wants to play them right now.
Eddie, I think one of us is right, both obviously in the pick, one of us is right, but I think one of us is right in the game account. This is going to go seven.
I agree. Yeah, it's going to go seven. So, all right, so now we go back. Now we go to the Pistons and Knicks. Now I know this is where you want to pick your darlings, dude. You want to pick the Pistons, dude.
Yeah, I ain't even messing around.
Oh, man, come on.
Pistons in seven, bro.
Oh, wow.
And you know what? This is just merely the fact that I don't like the way the players get used up in New York. Like, just we've had this conversation week after week, and I just think they're worn down. I just think they're going to be worn down. And Brunson obviously just came off an injury, so he'll be somewhat refreshed. But I think the Knicks are a better team than the Pistons, but I think the Pistons are they're younger, they're going to have more energy, they're going to push it.
You know, it's interesting. I see this going as a long series. I don't see it, you know, I don't see it going four or five or six games. It's going seven. But I'm picking the Knicks. The Knicks in seven, bro. All right. Now, the season series, Detroit led the season series 2-1. All right? So, that's going to be interesting, bro. All right, now we go up to back to the West. I'm out here. The Warriors and the Rockets, man. By the way, did you know that the Warriors are favored in this series, bro?
Yep.
They are favored.
I know.
They're favored, man.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? I mean, you know, not that I'm kidding, but you know, there's a lot to be said about playoff experience, right? And the Warriors have that in spades, right? And with Jimmy Butler now, you know, the people have seen, okay, the Jimmy Butler Curry thing last game. I mean, those guys scored 38 and 37 points respectively.
Correct.
Right. So that's like that right there is 75 points. That's a lot, bro. So yeah, I'm saying The Warriors, I'm going to go with you, too. I agree with you on the Warriors in six. I'm doing the same thing. So I'm not going to get any ground. No one's going to gain ground on here on this one. All right. Then we go to the last matchup in the first round between the Magic and the Celtics. So the Magic, I think, led – yeah, we talked about that. The Magic, the Magic had a 2-1 lead in the season series against the Celtics. So very interesting that we want to go ahead and point that out. But who are you going to – you're going to go ahead and pick the Celtics in six?
Correct.
I'm going to go ahead and pick the Celtics in five. All right. All right, let's go on to the next. Now we're going in the second round, bro.
No. And by the way, Eddie, this year, more than any other year, aside from the eighth seed, seeding matters and the Thunder. So we'll take the Thunder and the eighth seed out of this. Between these six teams?
Yes.
The difference in record between the Warriors and Rockets in 7-2 is two games. The Rockets won two more games than the Warriors did. I mean, it almost doesn't even matter. Like, other than home court advantage.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, this is – you were talking about how the Warriors are favorite. I mean, they're not – it's not like they were 10 games worse.
I know.
Yeah. All right, so here we're getting now. The Thunder and the Clippers.
Yep.
Man, all right. All right.
You're picking Thunder in seven.
Yes.
Wow. You know what, bro? The Clippers, I think, are a problem for them.
Yes, now, I agree.
And the so, you know, I haven't looked at what the season series is because there's too many. I'm saying the Clippers are pretty hot. I'm going to say Clippers in seven, bro.
Okay. Man, so we've got
that's a bad bracket for the Thunder, man, because they are facing probably the hottest team in the NBA besides themselves, right?
Yes.
in the Clippers. So I'm picking the Clippers in seven. The Clippers are a problem, man. They got every facet, especially with Kawhi Leonard. Now, the big thing is whether Kawhi Leonard is going to be able to play the entire series or not, right? So far, so good. Right? But his knee sometimes flares up out of nowhere, and if he plays, they're a problem. All right, so let's go to the next one.
I agree. All right, now we're over here.
Yeah, the Cavs and Pacers, man.
Yeah, I got Cavs in.
I'm going to say the same thing, dude. I'm saying Cavs in six. So, Cavs in six. All right, and then we go to the next one after that is going to be the Wolves against the Warriors, according to our bracket, right? Warriors and Lakers for you. I knew it. And you know what? The Warriors are a problem, dude. I'm gonna go homer too, man. I'm going against the Lakers. I'll say Warriors.
You're going against the Wolves.
I'm saying against the Wolves. I'm even more confident. Warriors in six against the Wolves. So, here we go. All right, man. So now we go back up to the Pistons and the Celtics now.
Correct.
You're saying, well, Celtics in five. Okay. Oh, whoa. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
I am going to go Celtics in six.
Okay.
All right, now we're getting down to the nitty gritty, bro.
Hey, people out there! I hope you get as much fun out of this as we do. I think this is great. All right,
okay. The point system is 1 point for the point right, and the game you get 2 points. So there's gonna be a lot of swings in this. All right, now we go to the final four, and we have the Warriors and Thunder.
I have the Warriors, Thunder, Cavs, and Celtics. You have the Warriors, Clippers, Cavs, and Celtics.
Okay. So go for it, man. Who are you picking between the Thunder and the Warriors? and the Warriors, they're one of the few teams. There's one other team that actually has a winning record against the Thunder in this season. And the Warriors is one of them. The other team is? You know who the other team is?
Clippers.
No.
Cool.
Dude, they're undefeated against the Thunder. They were 3-0 against the Thunder. And now they're a completely different team now because
Dallas Mavericks.
Exactly. Dallas Mavericks were 3-0 against the Thunder, man. They're the only team.
They must have played them all their games super early.
Yeah, that's when they had Luka, and, you know, they were on fire initially. And Luka and Kyrie were on fire for a while, bro. So, okay, you're saying Warriors. Okay, how about Cavs and Celtics? That's going to be a matchup. A dream matchup right there, bro. So you're saying Cavs over the Celtics. Oh, my.
This is, brother. I'm going a flash in the past, bro. Warriors, Cavs.
Oh, my God. Again, all right. So now let's go to mine, bro.
Hey, so I do want to be clear here. You know, yeah. I admit, you know, we're homers. I genuinely think the Warriors have a number on Thunder, right? I genuinely think that. But, like, I'm telling you something right now. I don't know what you're going to pick. But this right here is the Warriors' worst nightmare.
Correct.
The and Clippers are going to – if this happens, picking the Clippers, I would pick the Clippers.
I'm picking the Clippers.
Yes.
I would as well. I'm playing the Clippers in six.
I agree with that. Okay, I agree. If this is the way it ends up, this is not good for the Dubs.
They're the worst matchup for the Warriors, man. They haven't beaten them yet this year. They're 0-4.
Yeah.
So, okay, and the last one I have is
that Zubats guy, dude, I don't know how we, like, man, he's good.
He is, man.
He is good.
Dude, remember I brought this up about the Lakers, dude? The Lakers had Josh Hart, Zubac, Ingram, Randall, Jordan Clarkson. Dude, they had a pretty good team there, right?
Yep, but then LeBron, the GM, came in.
Correct. And, changed everything, bro.
Changed everything. All right. I know you got the Celtics here. I know you
do. I do have the Celtics. I have – I'm saying seven. In seven.
Okay. All right. Did you pick yours? You didn't put a spot for the winner.
Yeah, no, you just put it right below it. You're just going to put it right below it. All right. So I'm going to go ahead. Who are you going to pick in the Cavs and Warriors? You going Homer? That would be a good little matchup because, you know, the Warriors and Cavs, you know, Atkinson came from the Warriors, right? And he knows – I think he knows how to neutralize the Warriors because he's the coach for the last 4 years, right? So, okay, you say Cavs in six. I'm saying Celtics in seven. Wow. All right. There you have it, man. So, Twan has the Warriors versus the Cavs. I have the Clippers versus the Celtics. Twan has the Cavs winning in six against the Warriors, and I have the Celtics winning in seven.
So here's what's funny, Eddie, right?
Uh-huh.
If I'm right here, if I'm correct in this matchup, but you're correct in this matchup, then I have the Warriors beating the Celtics. If the Warriors play the Celtics, I have them beating the Celtics. But I don't have the Warriors beating the Cavs.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is a thing of matchups, right?
Totally is. The NBA is a game of matchups, bro. So it is, man. So, all right, man. So that's it for the playoff bracket predictions. Now, dude, let's get into some of the firings that have happened, bro. All right. So, you know, the Grizzlies started this whole charade of, you know, coaches being fired right before the playoffs started, right? Now, it's understandable with Budenholzer because after their season was done, they fired him. That's kind of the best way to do it, in my opinion. But there is a thought that, you know, teams rally around their new coach, right? We've seen that happen countless amount of times. And that's what I think Memphis was counting on with the firing of Jenkins. And they had one of his assistant coaches be promoted as the head coach. And they did respond. They did play better. They are playing better. But, you know, you pointed out some adjustment that maybe this new coach still hasn't figured out, right? And Zach Edey, right? There's little nuances that, you know, the new coach isn't going to be able to, you know, adjust to that the guy who's had the roster for a longer period of time and knows it, knows what to do, right? But, you know, when I first heard of this, dude, you know, we tried to do this segment, you know, a few weeks ago. I thought it was Bush League, bro. I'm like, what the hell are these guys doing, dude? What are they doing, man? You know, it's just, you know, it's a small market, Memphis, right? There's no way in hell, like, in New York or Lakers, I think, would do that, right? Not before the playoffs, especially if they're a playoff team. It just didn't look – it just didn't have a good look. Then, a few weeks after that, Mike Malone gets fired from the Denver Nuggets. And I'm like, what the hell is this trend going on, bro? Yeah. That doesn't make any sense. And, you know, granted, the Nuggets – did start playing better, and there's a whole article that came out about what was the dysfunction, you know, with Calvin Booth, you know, the GM, and Mike Malone, and, you know, like, Mike Malone is kind of an old-school kind of coach, kind of, kind of, you know, berates players, you know, and gets, it's kind of like Popovich does, right? But Popovich has got the, you know, he's got the panache, right? He's got the reputation. He's got the respect of everybody because he's done it for so long and so well. Whereas Mike Malone, you know, he was the son of a coach, right? Brendan Malone was a coach for years. And Mike Malone is a good coach. But the new generation of players, they just don't like the guys that are in your face. They like more of a player's coach, like a Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr is kind of a player's coach, right?
Yep.
But I want, you know, and now Budenholzer, right? Budenholzer is kind of the school of a Mike Malone, right? They kind of get in your face, you know. You know, that to me, that firing made more sense because, like I said, at the end of the season, given all these things, man, what are some of your thoughts on all of this, man?
So, look, Mike Malone was fired from Sacramento. He's been fired a couple of times. If I were to compare Mike Malone, Mike Malone is like the Jim Harbaugh of the NBA. You know, he's kind of
old. He wears out his welcome after 4 years.
Yeah, he's kind of hard on his management. You know, but to me, you know, a guy that has won a championship. So one of the articles that I read was that him and Joker were having beef because Mike Malone was affording Russell Westbrook the kind of veteran status
that
he was affording some of the other guys. And Joker's what was said was that Joker felt like he hadn't earned it, not on Denver, right?
Right.
So Mike Malone was kind of, I don't want to say favoring him, but he was softer on him than, and so Joker didn't like it. And once Joker didn't like it, I think that all ended it. But to me, you know, what I don't understand, and I'm going to pick on both Budenholzer and Mike Malone, not so much Jenkins, because I think Jenkins is a little bit different, but you know, I don't understand when you decide to pay your star athletes a ton of money. And as an organization, you decide not to go into the tax.
Right.
And then you blame your coach because all the players aren't that, we talked about this in our preseason. The Nuggets had no bench. None.
No bench.
None. Right?
None.
And so Russell Westbrook was a savior in that
sense
for them this year.
Yes.
And so if you have an issue with the way Booth put the organization together, then you should have at least afforded Mike Malone the courtesy of ending the season. He won you a championship, the only championship you ever had in your organization.
Correct.
You owed him the respect to let him finish out the season. I don't agree. I thought it was classless move. I just don't agree. In the case of Budenholzer, it's almost identical in the sense that they decided to pay all these guys. Beal was the guy that hung up the Jimmy Butler trade because he didn't want to get traded.
Right, and he had no trade clause.
Eddie, I'm going to tell you something right now. Imagine if Butler went to the Suns. Where would the Suns be today?
Probably better, for sure.
No, they'd be. I guarantee you the Warriors wouldn't be in the playoffs and the Suns would be where the Warriors are. I feel very strongly about that because the Warriors were falling apart.
I agree with you.
And so in the sense of Budenholzer, why are you firing him? Because Beal didn't want to get – you know, Budenholzer had nothing to do with that crappy contract that Washington decided to give Beal with a no-trade contract. One of only two, by the way, in the whole league. LeBron and Beal are the only ones that have that contract. Like, who was the Einstein that decided to give him that? You know, that's not on Budenholzer. You know, Budenholzer also won a championship with Milwaukee. You know, like he's a championship coach. I don't agree with that either. But like you said, they at least let the season play out. They're going in a different direction. They're obviously going to trade Kevin Durant now. So maybe the coach they need now is one that can coach younger players better, and maybe they didn't think Budenholzer could do that or whatever. That's fine. You know, that's going to happen. For Jenkins, though, it's a little bit of a different story. You know, Jenkins, you know, under his watch, Ja Morant went wild. The defender
Triple
over there.
Triple J.
Yep, the defender over there in Houston went wild. You know, Jenkins has been given a lot of talent. Triple J's talented. You know, Jalen Wells now is talented. Edie's proven to be an NBA player. They've got players. He's got
Obama,
the tools.
Player. Yep.
Correct. Now, Adam Curtis,
Bane.
Sure. Yep, Bane. I mean, they've got a lot of talent there. And the GM has done a good job in providing. And I don't think that Jenkins has maximized the talent that he has. Partially because these guys are getting suspended. They have guns, you know, like, in John Morant's case, you know, there's other things. But, you know, there's a lack of control there, right? And so You look at dude, why am I forgetting? Who's the defender that went to Houston? The guy that
Dylan Brooks.
Well, yep. You look at their coach. He don't play around. Like Brooks may be popping off, but he ain't running the show like he was in Memphis. You know, kind of getting everybody all riled up. And so
Ime Udoka runs a tighter ship for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. And so
plus he was a player in the NBA, right?
Exactly. And he don't mess around, you know? Yeah, he's a big dude. He don't mess around. And so I think that Jenkins was a little loosey-goosey with some of his younger players. And so in that sense, I can see why you want to swap it. Would I have done it when they did it? No. I think that's a mistake. I think you were ready to end the season, move on at the end of the season.
Better to do it at the end of the season. Because, you know, for one, in the case of Memphis and in the case of the Nuggets, right, they're both smaller market teams. All three of these teams are really smaller market teams,
correct,
right? The thing is that what kind of message are you sending, right, to other potential coaching hires that you're going to try and recruit, right, to be the head coach of your organization? The head coach who's looking at that job is going, dude, what the hell, man? These guys are, like, going to fire before the playoffs? And it doesn't make any sense. These guys don't look like they know what they're doing, right? Yeah. There's that mentality. That could seep into people's minds for organizations that do – things like this, right? It's like, come on, man.
And
nobody reputable is going to want to coach over there if you do something like that and you do disrespectful stuff like that. I Bush League, man.
And I will add another name that we've forgotten about that I also did a Bush League job was the Kings releasing Mike Brown.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was also Bush League. They did text. They didn't call him. Where are they now? They're not there. If the Kings manage to beat the Mavericks tonight, which I think they won't, but let's say they do. They're still not beating Memphis on Friday.
So Memphis is going to beat either one of those teams.
Yeah, so what did that amount to? And so to me, like, these organizations are historically dysfunctional for a reason, and this is part of the reason. And to answer your question about the look, you know, there's two sides to this coin. You're right. If I'm a coach and Denver comes calling, right, and I'm a pursued coach, the first thing that I'm going for is I want a 5-year guaranteed contract. Right.
Like you also want to coach Jokic. Right?
Correct. What I'm saying is if I go there, I'm going, I want 5 years at, you know, $15 million a year. You know, if I'm a prime candidate, someone that, you know, they want, because I know that in 1 year I could get fired and I want the rest of my money.
Yeah.
You know, but to me, the flip side of that coin of your statement is I wonder how the players look at it. Like, oh, if I go to that organization and I don't like the coach, I have the authority to get him fired.
Correct.
And that might be a draw. That might be a draw for players.
For sure. But there's dysfunction written all over when you do stuff like that, man. It's not a good look, man. So, you know.
Correct. And I know where I'm up, you know, we're homers. But that in a nutshell is the beauty of Steph Curry. Steve Kerr has been a coach for the Warriors. He's talented. He's a winner. But that's not the only reason. The other reason is because Steph Curry is not the kind of guy who's going to demand this or that. He figures out a solution.
Right.
You know, if the truth is that Joker got pissed off and that's why they fired Malone, like Curry wouldn't do that. Like it's just not in his character, you know?
Yeah.
He's going to let, and so, you know, you look at LeBron's career, how many coaches has he gone through? You know, just at the Lakers alone, how many coaches has he gone through?
Yeah,
you
know?
And what I'm saying is that this is just reflective of the players, you know, because I'm pretty sure that if Jokic went in there and go, if you fire Malone, I'm not signing with you guys next year. Malone ain't losing his job. You know, and they just don't stand by their coaches. They don't, you know, they don't respect that. And you know, and I don't know what to make of it other than if I'm a player, I guess I'll go, well, I'll go to Denver because if I don't like the coach, I know they'll listen to me and they'll kick him out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly, bro.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which to me is the wrong message. That's not the hierarchy of the way your organization should be.
Yep. Yeah. And hopefully they'll learn from this, man, because it's just a bad look. Now, before we get off this segment and go on to the last segment, do you see Nico Harrison getting fired? No matter what happens at the end of this season.
Man. So, yes.
Nico Harrison of the Dallas Mavericks, by the way. Just in case the audience didn't know who Nico Harrison was, but he's the coach of the Dallas Mavericks.
Uh-huh. Here's my answer. You remember Oliver North?
Yeah.
Okay, Oliver North was, for those that are too young, Oliver North was a general in the military who took the brunt of all of Reagan's acts because Reagan was funding the Contras and yep. getting, you know, raising revenue. Anyway, I don't want to get it. I mean, I know we have a political half. And basically, he left Oliver North holding the bag for all of his decisions. And I think this is what I think that what that's what Nico Harrison is going to be. He's going to be Oliver North.
He's going to be Oliver North.
I don't think for a minute that he traded Luka. I think the owners traded Luka. I think they pushed it upon him. He did it. He's being the good soldier and holding it the decision at his own. I don't believe it was his decision. I believe it was somebody else's, somebody higher up. And I think that this has been such a PR nightmare that they're going to make him the scapegoat. They're going to fire him so that they can keep their season tickets holders and they can say, see, he was the one that did it. But the truth is, he's just a scapegoat. He doesn't deserve to be fired, in my opinion.
So let me ask you something. What about if Dallas wins the play-in and then they go in and upset Memphis? Do you think he's still gone? Or is he gone no matter what?
Short of winning the championship, I think he's gone.
I agree. I would say that if he wins against Memphis, if they win against the Memphis Grizzlies and then take the A seed and they are looking competitive against the Thunder, that might save his job. But yeah. I think the writing's on the wall. I think he's gone, bro.
No, I mean, I, and again, these aren't the same players. But I'm looking at this as though the Chicago Bulls traded Michael Jordan in like his fifth season. You know, like what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like you just what are you doing, man? Right. You know, and that's I think if I'm a Dallas fan, that's the way I'm looking at it. You know, I remember losing Chris Webber after 1 year. I was freaking crushed. It was 1 year, and I was crushed.
Yeah.
You know, this guy took him to the finals last year.
Dude, I know.
Like,
I know,
this
bro.
This is anarchy going on over there, dude. They like boom. He's got to have security. Like, dude, he's gonna get fired. He has to get fired.
I agree. So,
anyway, but again, I don't think he deserves it.
Yeah, I don't think so too. Because it's all the owners. The owners. Their fingerprints were all over this. Just like you're Reagan to Oliver North reference.
Yeah,
that's exactly what.
They're just passing the buck down, and it's a travesty. And the message that I really get into all of this is that. I'd be a little concerned that Dallas doesn't want to spend money to win a championship.
Yeah.
Not because, you know, he was going to get the highest contract in the history of the NBA had he stayed, you know, and I would look at this and I'm curious if Dallas just didn't want to pay the money. You know, part of it, they think, you know,
he wasn't worth it. It comes down to money, bro. It always does. Yeah.
Yep.
I agree with you, bro. Horrible. All right, bro. So that's it for this segment. We're going on to our last segment. We're going to go ahead and review the 10 teams that didn't make the playoffs. We did slides for each of the teams. Tuan, you have, let's see, you have, let me see, I had it down here who you have. You have the Hornets, the Wizards, the Suns, the Blazers, and the Spurs. Yeah. I have the Raptors, the Nets, the Sixers, Pelicans, and Jazz. Doesn't have to be in that order. You just have it however you have it up there. We're going to go ahead and display it.
Yeah. Can you see the screen? Yep. Here we go.
Yep. So let me see. So I had – so
this was
Raptors.
You.
Yeah, this is me. So, okay. So here we go. The Raptors were the offensive and defensive rating, you know, and net rating. You can see where they're ranked. They're kind of towards the bottom of the league in terms of ratings. But it was interesting. I also wanted to kind of put their starter scoring and their bench scoring. This team's got some talent, right?
I agree
that Scotty Barnes is a talented guy.
Yep.
We know that Emmanuel Quickley is also a talented player. They drafted Grady Dick, who's he's actually a pretty good player. But you know what they had was a lot of injuries in and out, right? A lot of injuries. Jakob Poeltl, he was in and out of the lineup. Emmanuel Quickley was in and out of the lineup. Scotty Barnes a little bit here and there. Grady Dick, RJ Barrett, essentially injuries pretty much curtailed their season, right? But they have some decent players. Now, if I were to look at the strength of this team, they have athletic. They're a good young athletic bunch, right? I just don't think they have an identity right now, right? I think that they need some veteran leadership, right? They have a lot of young guys on this team, right? And I just think that they need to get an influx of a few shooters on their team. Every team needs some shooting, right? And these guys definitely, I think, lack it big time, right? So if I were to go ahead and give them my assessment of this team, I would say that small tweaks are needed. I don't think they're not that far from being a very competitive team, right? They just need to stay healthy. They need to go ahead and shore up maybe their bench with some veteran players who can shoot. And I think if they do that, I think they're going to be a team that's going to be on the rise soon. So I don't think they're that far off. So okay. We can go to the next.
All right, next one, I believe it's me.
Go for it, bro.
So this is the Charlotte Hornets. Speaking of injuries, so ton of injuries. LaMelo Ball, man, all the balls, like just injured everywhere. Papa got no foot, you know, Jello got no career. Lonzo, you know, Lonzo's in and out. LaMelo's been in and out. They have a pretty good team. Here, just to note, just so I'm clear, I put the starting five at the beginning of the season. Obviously, Nick Richards was traded. Yep. I believe he was traded over to Portland. We'll see it here in a minute. I don't remember where he was traded, but he was traded.
He was traded to the Suns.
To the Phoenix Suns. Yes, thank you. So you know they have a lot of young talent on this team. You know, Miles Bridges, LaMelo Ball. You know,
Brandon Miller.
Yeah. So they got a lot of young talent. What they need, you know, in my opinion, is a little bit of a better bench, as I noted here. They really have no veterans. I mean, Seth Curry is a veteran, but not one that I think demands the locker room. Not one that's going to, you know, Mark Williams, who was also traded to the Lakers and then brought back. That might be a blessing in disguise for the Hornets. I mean, Mark Williams is a specimen. He is hurt often, so we'll see kind of what comes of his career. But when he's healthy, he's a pretty big dude, and he does a pretty decent impact on the court. You know, they're not a very good defensive team. You know, KJ Simpson, who I believe was their draft pick this year, he's played really well. I believe that, you know, he picked up point guard duties while LaMelo was out, and he did well on that front. You know, in terms of looking at their ratings, you know, they're kind of both on the lower half of the league, both on offensive and defensive ratings. You know, they had, you know, one of the largest net rating differentials at -8.5, which for those that don't remember, that just means that in a nutshell, they lost games on an average of 8.5 points, basically what that boiled down to, you know. Their bench scoring was pretty weak. Their starter scoring was pretty weak. And you know, that's a metric that is interesting because, you know, I assume that starting scoring is whoever starts that particular game, which obviously in the case of the Hornets, that was fluctuating.
Correct.
But, you know, I still think that they're not ready for next year. I think that they need to have a season where they're mostly healthy. They need a couple of veterans on here. You know, we'll see what someone like the Spurs do with Chris Paul. I think someone like him would have a large influence on a team like this. You know, they need someone to just show these guys what it's like to be a professional, show them, you know, kind of the ways of the league. And I think if they can get that within the next couple of years, they might start going on the way up. But my guess is that next year, I don't see their stats improving significantly over this season.
So let me ask you something. If you were to go ahead and give an overall assessment, would you say that they're a team on the rise, small tweaks needed, or needs a lot of work?
I would say that they're on the rise from – I think that this is a low point for them, but I still think they'll be below average next year. Okay. So they'll be a subpar team. They are headed in the right direction, but they're still not – next year, they're still going to be on the outside looking in next year.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. All right, man.
Yeah. All right.
So we got the next.
So you know, we alternate between me and you.
Okay, cool. All right. Yeah. That's how we did it. Okay, perfect. All right. So the Brooklyn Nets, you can see based on their offensive and defensive ratings, they're pretty much really, really bad on the offensive side. Yeah. And they're decent, middle of the pack on the defensive side. Offensively, really bad. Defensively, pretty decent, right? But their net rating is, you know, -6.88. That's like fourth from the bottom, right? Because 30th being the worst.
Yep.
What's interesting is that their starter scoring is the worst, right? Their bench scoring is actually 10th, which isn't bad. They just have a lot of, like, let's use, Charles Barkley's term, just the guy, right? They have a bunch of just the guys, right? Yeah. They really don't have anybody that is just noteworthy of a starting, you know, player that's really, really good. I would say that Nick Claxton is definitely one of those centers on the rise. I mean, he's definitely a really good athletic center. He just gets into foul trouble here and there as well. Cameron Johnson came from them and from the Phoenix Suns in a trade, and you know he's also a guy that's looked pretty good. And he was actually on the trading rumors for the Warriors at one time. I don't know if you knew that, but he was to go to the Warriors. And I think someone like him. I mean, he's a good fit for this team, but he's a good fit for a lot of teams just because he's a bigger guy who can shoot. So I think that they just lack leadership. I think this team needs veteran leadership, they have a lot of redundancy, bro. A lot of their players are similar size. They're kind of like the definition of a true positionless basketball team, bro, right? They don't have good shooting. In my opinion, this team needs a lot of work. They're far from going anywhere. And I think those trades for Kyrie, you know, Durant and Harden, it just crippled this franchise, dude. I mean, they're going to be in the doldrums for a while, bro. They need veterans. They have to overpay some veterans that come onto this team and change the culture a little bit.
Yeah, and I will tell you, D'Angelo Russell is one of those point guards that's just good enough for your team to stink. You know what I mean? When he's on a sucky team, he's going to score points, but he is not, you know, and I don't want to pick on him, but he doesn't have that winner mentality. He has that let me get mine mentality.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think that if they're going to succeed, they need a different starting point guard.
Yep, they just need a lot of work, bro.
They do need a lot of work.
So,
all right,
we're going on to the next team. That's you next, man.
All right, here we are, the ever-loving Washington Wizards.
The Washington Bullets.
Yes, the Washington, that's what they are, going down with a bullet. Like, this team is horrible. Horrible on offense, horrible on defense, has the highest net rating in the league. That means that they lost by the most points in the league. If you recall, and Eddie and I have talked about it throughout the season, they started, you know, just about all their rookies at some point. Their rookies have gotten a lot of playing time. You know, maybe there is a silver lining around that cloud, which means that maybe next year they kind of grow and figure out what you need. But, you know, someone like Bob Carrington, who got, I believe, the most minutes of any rookie in the league, you know, he was like fourth or fifth in points scored, you know, things of that nature. You know, Jordan Poole, you know, obviously he's had a up and down career. I think that he recovered a little from his last year. Last year he had a horrible season with the Wizards. This year was a little bit better. They traded Kyle Kuzma over to the Milwaukee Bucks midseason, and they got what's his name? Why am I drawing a blank? Chris Middleton. They got Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton has been hurt and out most of the year.
He's always hurt, man.
Yeah, Sarr is a good player. I think they got something with Sarr there. Marcus Smart is a good veteran backup, but man, they can't score. You know, they struggle on deep. They need a lot of help. Chris Middleton is someone that I would look to trade because I don't think he's enough of a veteran presence, and he's really expensive. And I think that if you can get something for him, I would. If you could get something for Marcus Smart, I probably would. And if you can get something for Jordan Poole, I probably would. So those are three people that if I was them, I would target to see what I can get for them and possibly just start getting even younger than Jordan Poole is already. I think Jordan's like 25, 24, something like that. I mean, he's a pretty young guy, but but I just think they got a long way to go.
But bravo to this organization, though, for playing their guys that they drafted.
Correct.
Right? They had to because they had to see what they had, right?
And, absolutely.
You know, Keyshawn George looks like he's going to be a player, man. That guy looks good, man. Alex Sarr, I think he's probably going to be second in the rookie voting. We'll find out shortly, but to Stephon Castle, he's going to be, I think, the rookie that gets the second most votes. I think he's a decent player. A lot of GMs predicted him to be the star of this draft. He had the star power of this draft, but, you know, Stephon Castle essentially emerges the star right now of this draft. And then Bub Carrington, Carlton, don't call me Bub Carrington, or Bub, don't call me Carlton.
Yeah.
He's also been playing a lot. Remember we do this rookie watch segments? That guy's, he leads all rookies in the amount of minutes played, right? Yep. He plays a lot of minutes.
So
bravo to this organization for giving their young guys a shot. So let's go on to the next one.
You know, one thing that I want to point out since you mentioned it, if you look up and down most of the playoff teams, you'll see that every team that's successful in the playoffs have at least two homegrown players that are very good.
You just go
up and down that roster, and you have to. So, you know, Jordan Poole isn't homegrown. You know, Alex Sarr and Carrington are. You know, you need a couple of players in that. So I agree with you. You know, bravo to them for playing their guys. Obviously, the record and the ratings reflect that. You know, I think next year is the year we're going to see if that's going to come to fruition. That ideology or that path. And if they didn't, they're going to have to make other changes and move forward. So,
they're a long way away from being anything, bro. Oh, anything's going to begin.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Now, the Sixers are a team that a lot of guys thought would be a formidable team.
I'm one of them.
Yeah, it's because they had, you know, Tyrese Maxey, they had Paul George, they had Joel Embiid, Kelly Oubre, then they drafted this Jared McCain, and, you know, he became, you know, this guy that out of nowhere started just scoring, right? He was, like, considered one of the best rookies at the time. But he got hurt, and he's been out for the season for quite some time, man. But this team is essentially the Dallas Mavericks of the East. This team got snake bitten, man, by injury after injury. And just the whole Joel Embiid, you know, when he played for Team USA, you know, laboring out there, that essentially just, you know, essentially wore him out, I think, for the season. And now he has knee issues, and he had a couple knee surgeries recently. And we don't know if we've seen the last of his MVP status days, you know, as a player, because this guy is uber talented. I mean, when he came out of college, he had issues with his feet, right? And, you know, he actually didn't play for like 2 years before he got into this, you know, in the NBA. His first game when he got drafted was like 2 years after he got drafted, right? So it's kind of like this guy's just unfortunately just wasn't blessed with the best physique and body to be able to withstand injuries. It's weird how everybody's physiology is different, bro. I mean, you know, what is like Steph Curry running around like what he does, man? And then here I am, you know, I tore my Achilles doing the exact same thing as he did. It's like, you just don't know, bro. It's like, but anyway, this team is hurting big time. And the thing is, they have a lot of decent players, right? They have a lot of decent players. They're just not meshing very well. So, you know, Daryl Morey, man, he has his work cut out, bro, to try and get this team back to where everybody thinks they should be. And, you know, if you don't do well in Philadelphia, you're going to hear it, right, from the fans. And I know that the fans are all over Joel Embiid, right? And I think it's time for Joel Embiid to move on to a different organization. I think to restart his career, I think he needs to do that. So, but in my opinion, I think this team is not that far, all right? They just had a really, really bad start of the season, and they just could never recover. That's why I'm saying that they just need some small tweaks. They have a great center, a great point guard in Tyrese Maxey. He's like probably going to be the most improved player this year, bro, honestly. Their weakness right now is the bench. They have nobody, really. Look at their bench. It's almost as bad as the Denver Nuggets. It might be even worse, right? So they just need some small tweaks to get the rotation better. So,
and you know what, Eddie? Being a fan of the NBA, I want to say this. I'm sort of glad the Sixers are going through this. And I don't mean that I growing up, I was a big Philadelphia 76ers fan, you know, Dr. J, Maurice Cheeks, Andrew Toney, Mike Iveroni. I remember those guys, you know, Moses Malone. I've liked them, but what I never liked and what never sat well with me with the 76ers was the whole trust the process crap, which basically was keep sucking until you get like four or five number one picks. And
right.
And where did that methodology get you? It got you nowhere.
Nowhere.
You know, Ben Simmons gone. You know, the point guard that went to Orlando, I forget his name now, gone, right? You know, a lot of these guys are, you know, Joel Embiid, who was their...
Oh, you're talking about he plays for Markelle Fultz, you're talking about.
Markelle Fultz, yes, Markelle Fultz, gone, right? Joel Embiid, who was the premier, right? Bodies breaking down. It just goes to show you, man, just win. Just do what you can, and if the pieces fall, then the pieces fall. So I am grateful because... You know, hopefully in my whole life I don't have to hear trust the process again. Crap, you know, which is basically an excuse for let us start losing games until we get better players. And so from that sense, I am grateful. And in my humble opinion, if this organization wants to start winning, this is a coach they need to let go. I'm not a big Doc Rivers guy. You know, I just don't think he's the right fit for this team. Maybe someone like Budenholzer could come in and help a little bit more, you know, something like that. But
yeah,
you know, I think that they do need to look at that and start shifting in that direction. And I do agree with you that Joel Embiid probably needs to be traded. I don't know who's going to want to pick him up for that tab. You know?
I know, but he's wore out his welcome there, bro.
Yeah,
he needs a fresh start.
That's gonna be interesting. And they did in this particular season. They did get an excellent backup in Andre Drummond. He's the perfect backup for Joel Embiid. Had Joel Embiid been playing most of the season,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
right.
And I bet you he regrets playing the Olympics as much as anyone, you know?
Right.
but it is what it is. All right, moving on.
All right, we got five more teams to cover, man. So okay. We're an hour and 14 minutes into it. So
all right, we're there.
Thanks
we're
for
there.
You guys right. staying on here, but we got good content. We got five more teams. We'll go a little quicker now.
Yep, so speaking of this team, obviously a lot of star power. Offense out the wazoo. You know, Beal can score. Durant, everyone knows he can score. Devin Booker is an excellent scorer. You know, defense, not so good. You know, which is surprising, at least from Durant's perspective, because Durant, when he was a Warrior, was a hell of a defender. But, you know, their overall defense is suffering. Their net rating, they were just about, you know, a little under 500, as their record would indicate. They had one of the best, one of the better starter scoring benches in the league. You can or start one of the starters scoring in the league at number ranked at 11th at 80 points right. a game. For their bench scoring, not that great. We knew that, though. We knew they were top heavy. You know, this particular year, I thought they did an excellent move in getting Tyus Jones as a point guard. He kind of really pulled them together in the early
that's what they needed. They were in dire need of a point guard, bro. They were dire need of a point guard. So that was a good move.
Yep. Agreed. And you look at that starting five, and, you know, and even now they picked up Nick Richards, you know, so you can swap Nick Richards and Nurkic as a starter and a bench guy. You know, Ryan Dunn has been a pretty good defensive player. You know, Damian Lee from the old Warriors day, you know, he's got a little bit of talent here and there. But basically what it's boiled down to is I think they're too top heavy. They don't have enough. Their guys, especially Durant and Beal, are too old. They can't do this night in and night out at 30-plus minutes a game. You know, they need more balance. And, you know, I think in this offseason you're going to see it. They're going to trade Kevin Durant. I can almost guarantee.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's for sure. And, by the way, just so you know, Yusuf Nurkic, you probably looked at the starting lines at the beginning of the season.
Is he gone?
Yeah, he's actually with the Charlotte Hornets.
Okay. Oh, that was the trade, right? That was the trade.
Yeah, that was a trade in the middle of the season.
I did mention that early on, the starting five I got from the beginning of the
year. Yes, exactly. So Nick Richards is their starting center, and then they have Mason Plumlee as their backup.
That's right. Mason Plumlee. Yeah. Thank you for that correction. So I just think that they're going to kind of start over again. As we mentioned, they fired their head coach. You know, the person that I kind of really feel bad for is Devin Booker. Devin Booker's gone through a couple of these kind of renditions now, kind of build it up, break it down, build it up, break it down. This is going to be like the third one. You know, I think he deserves better, but they're not going to trade him. You know, they're his piece. They're, you know, he's their draft pick, their player. He's going to stay there. But it'll be really interesting to see if they can get rid of Bradley Beal. I don't know how. You know, if he doesn't want to go, he's not going to go. Maybe when Durant not there, he's going to leave. I don't know. But we'll see. But I think that this team is going to decline before they get better.
Yeah, I mean, they still need to build around Devin Booker because Devin Booker is a player, man. But they need to get more youth. They need to get more youthful. This team is old because their core three is old, just like the Warriors. But the Warriors have a lot of youth now, right?
Yeah.
That kind of help stabilize the mature guys, right? Give them some rest. Correct. These guys need an influx of new guys.
Yep. And just so we all know, they have no draft picks for like the next 4 years.
They're hurting, man. They are hurting. They need to buy some draft picks, man.
They gave up a lot for Durant, so they better get some draft pick back for Durant.
Yep.
But if anybody's paying attention in the league, you know, outside of Durant going to the Warriors, everywhere Durant's gone, it's been a mess.
Except for the Warriors, you're right.
Except for the Warriors. I mean, once he left the Thunder, right? It was a mess. It's a mess.
Wherever he leaves is what you're saying.
No, it was a mess when he got there. I mean, they could, you know, the closest they got, I think, was a second round in the playoffs when his big toe was too big and it was a two-pointer instead of a three-pointer. I don't know if you remember that game. But then he left, and the Nets are a mess. He's going to leave Phoenix, and Phoenix is going to be a mess. I mean, right now, they just when you're giving up a lot of capital for Kevin Durant, it's going to bite you in the ass.
It is, man. It is. Yeah. And it's going to bite these guys in the ass. So, all right, man. So we got four more teams right now. Right? I got the New Orleans Pelicans, right? This team is another team that got snake bitten by injuries galore, okay? It started out with DeJounte Murray when he was the newly acquired guy from the Atlanta Hawks.
Yep.
And we thought, oh, my God, this guy going on this team, they're going to be a problem. Because if you look at that starting five, that looks pretty formidable, man, right?
That's a solid starting five.
But DeJounte Murray broke his finger, you know, early in the season. And missed a lot of time to gel with his teammates. You had C.J. McCollum, who's been the stabilizing force there. You know, he's been there for a long time. But, you know, Brandon Ingram, you know, left, right, because he got traded. And then they got, you know, because of Trey Murphy. Trey Murphy just, you know, emerged as kind of like the replacement for Brandon Ingram. And then we all know Zion Williamson's, you know, journey with health, right? The guy is just, if he plays, I mean, they should give some kind of a bonus to that guy for playing all 82 games. If you play all 82 games, we're going to give you a fat bonus, yeah, right? And that might motivate him to do what he needs to do to stay, you know, healthy and within a reasonable weight. Cause that guy is like pushing 300, if not more right now, right?
Yeah.
But he's gotten better. But anyway, if you look at their overall ratings, you know, they're kind of at the tail end of the league for every, you know, for every category, offense, defense, yep. net. They're like at the very bottom, almost at the very bottom. Starter scoring is middle of the pack, bench scoring. I think this is all due to the injuries. This team missed a lot of games due to injury. And so, but if you look at their overall team, you know, their weakness right now is their health. They need to get some kind of trainer that can get these guys healthy and stay on the court because availability is the biggest ability, in my opinion, right? And, yep. and these guys, they need a lot of help. They need some kind of strength and conditioning coach, a better one that they have right now, because these guys are getting hurt, man. They also need a reliable bench scorer, because you look at their team right now on the bench. Jose Alvarado, you know, Grand Theft Alvarado. Great, yep. I think that's a great nickname, right? He's the best, yep. best nickname. Bruce Brown, he's a good player, man. He's older, right? You know, Kelly Olynyk, I think, is also
a
solid player, right?
He's backup power forward, backup center.
Yeah, and then, you know, Carlo Maktovich, I think he's a rookie or second-year player, and he's emerged to be a pretty decent player, man. So, but I think they just need one more bench scorer and to offset, you know, because this team right now, as constructed, is pretty dangerous. Ease Missy is a rookie that got drafted out of Baylor. He appeared in our, you know, rookie watch segments almost all the time for every category, yeah. right?
Because yep. he's actually got a lot of experience this year.
You did, man. So I think that this team, it has small tweaks needed. They're not far. They just got bitten by the injury.
Yeah, this is the epitome of, hey, run it back. Just run it back.
Yeah, run it back.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, maybe get another bench piece here or there. Run it back. I agree.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, man. So I'm done with that. The Pelicans, man. Now you got.
All right. Now the Portland Trail Blazers. All right. So Portland, you know, Eddie and I at the beginning of the year, for those that don't remember, we had teams to watch. I had the Detroit Pistons, who excelled even beyond what I thought they were going to do. They actually had a much better season. Eddie had the Portland Trail Blazers, who I also think, and now, you know, had Portland been in the Eastern Conference, they might have been in the postseason. You know, had they been in there, but unfortunately they're in the Western Conference, where 48 wins get you the seventh seed, which is crazy,
right.
but you know, it is what it is. I think that this is another team. They're young, you know, they got some pretty good, in terms of, some defense, some perimeter defense. Their rebounding still a little weak. They're still a little inconsistent given some of their youth, you know. They've got a couple of, you know, strengths. There's another great name. I don't know if you've heard it, but, Kling Kong is what they call
him. Yeah, Kling Kong. That's a great name, man.
That is a fantastic name, because that's exactly what he looks like, dude. He's a big, freaking, massive human being. He's like Lurch from the Addams Family.
Yeah.
Like,
Durang.
Exactly, bro. Like, that's him. But, you know, Anthony Simons is a solid player for them. You know, Denny Avdija, who they got from the Washington Bullets.
Yeah, he's a good player, man.
Yeah, I thought that was not a good trade for Washington. I thought Denny was a player on the rise. You know, we mentioned Donovan Klingon, Scoot Henderson. You know, they got Jabari Walker. You know, I think they're going to have to trade, you know, either DeAndre Ayton or Robert Williams III. I'm a big fan of Robert Williams, at least when he was with the Celtics. I thought he was pretty good. He's had some knee issues and some injury issues. But I think Portland's a team that's in the right direction, right? I think that from the Western Conference, they're one of two teams, one of which we still have yet to talk about. They're one of two teams that I think run it back, and I think they're going to be like, you know, next year they're going to be like the Memphis Grizzlies. You know, they're going to come back, and they're going to have a good season. I think that they do need a couple of tweaks here, you know, work on their rebounding some, work on their offensive efficiency, which I think will happen just by the nature of them getting more experience in playing. I think they got a good team. They're an exciting team that's up and coming, and I definitely think they're on the rise.
Yeah, and, you know, I got to tell you, bro, this team takes the cake for having the most unique roster of names, bro.
Yes.
Right? Because there's only one guy who's got a common name, and Robert. Everybody else has got something unique, bro.
Jabari, Duop, DeAndre.
Jaden, Denny, Jabari, Duop, Ron Scoot. Yeah. It's like,
well, Donovan, I guess Donovan's kind of normal, but. But, dude, no. But, yeah, I think this is a good team. They got a couple of things going on. They just extended Chauncey Billups as their head coach for a couple of seasons, which I think was smart. I think he's had a good year. So I think this is definitely a team that's on the rise and should have a much better season next year.
Right. Cool, man.
All right. Moving on.
All right. This is the last. There's only two more. This is my last team that I'm covering.
Yep.
And these are the hapless Utah Jazz. You can see based on their ratings, they are near the bottom in every category. Actually, in the bottom from a defensive standpoint, and then also almost at the bottom for net rating, right? Now, just a little secret here, bro. For you know, I play FanDuel. Anytime anybody was playing against the Utah Jazz, I'd be playing that player, man, because they score a lot of points against this team because their defense is so horrible. But, you know, this team.
Insight.
Yeah, exactly. But you look at their – what's interesting is that you look at their starter scoring. It's kind of the worst – one of the worst ones in the league. But their bench scoring is top five, which is very interesting. I think a lot of it has to do with Jordan Clarkson, honestly, because he's like a scoring
– don't forget about my boy Filipowski.
Filipowski, dude, he's been balling, bro.
Yeah.
He has been balling, man. So, real quick, just – since I talked about FanDuel, so Filipowski, when he first got into the league, you know, when he first started playing, he was probably right around $4,000, which is pretty cheap. Like the lowest you can pay for anybody in FanDuel is $3,500, right? Okay. So Filipowski is right around $4,000. Right now he's about $8,100, bro. That just goes to show you that he's doing a lot of things on the court very well, right? So yeah, I wanted to give it up to your guy from your fantasy team. But anyway, but their team, you know, they have a lot, in my opinion, of mediocre talent. They have decent talent. Keontae George and Colin Sexton are decent, right? They're not like superstar potential, but they're decent rotational pieces. The only thing is that these guys are in the starting lineup. Lauri Markkanen is in and out because of injury. He's a good player. He's not a star player. And that was, again, another guy that the Warriors were rumored to try and get, right?
Yeah, I'm grateful Ainge was a prick about it, and I think that Ainge may regret having kept him.
Yeah, I agree. But they have Walker Kessler is a damn good center, man. I think that, you know, he was also rumored to potentially be somebody that the Warriors might try and covet and try and get him to come over, because he does a lot of good things as a center. So these guys actually have some decent talent, but a lot of it is mediocre, and I think they just need. I think this team needs a lot of work, man. And that's why I kind of bolded it. That, you know, in my overall assessment is this team needs a lot of work. They have some pieces. They just need to build more and just build through the draft, man. And you know, we'll see what happens from there, man.
All right. I agree with you, though. All right. Moving on.
Last one, man. We're an hour and 27 minutes. We're almost done. All right.
Woo! So here is the beast. So strengths, Wemby. His condition clears him to play. This is absolutely the team to watch next year.
Absolutely, no doubt
about it. Like, you know, if everything falls into line, could be a 50 plus win team. You know, Stephon Castles had an amazing rookie year.
Absolutely,
Wemby was on track to win Defensive Player of the Year. You know, if not, maybe be a dark MVP candidate. They picked up De'Aaron Fox, in a trade with Sacramento over the season. So they've got three pieces already there, a point guard, a center, and a guard, an off guard, already starting there. That's already three solid pieces. Harrison Barnes is a solid piece for a starting lineup or even off the bench wherever you need him. You know, Devin Vassell is playing well. Where's Champagne? Julian Champagne or whatever?
I
like watching that guy play. You know, in terms of offense, they were the 18th ranked offense. They do need to improve some on the defensive perspective, and that's saying a lot considering they have a defensive of the year candidate. Their net rating was 2.7, right around the 500 mark in terms of points. They were 22nd in the league. You can see there's a little bit of an imbalance between their starter scoring and their bench scoring for the season, but their bench scoring was third in the league, right? So they had, in terms of stats, they were the third best. Chris Paul is a valuable veteran leadership on this team. You know, whether you want to start him, whether you want to bring him off the bench, you know, they've got a lot of depth. I believe they've got a couple of draft picks this coming draft as well. I think this is absolutely the team to watch next year. And, you know, if maybe not next year, but within the next 5 years, they're going to be the Oklahoma City Thunder of the league.
I agree with you, man.
They're going to dominate and they're going to be really well.
It all, you know, I think the Victor Wembanyama, De'Aaron Fox pair up is going to be a problem for the league.
Yep.
And then you got Stephon Castle is emerging to be, you know, probably a future perennial all-star in the making, right? You know, I think the Harrison Barnes and Chris Paul, you know, those are great leaders to have on your team because they lead by example. And they all, you know, Chris Paul is pretty much like a coach on the floor. These other guys, you know, Jeremy Sohan, he's a draft pick from 3 years ago. Devin Vassell, you know, he's relatively young. You know, Keldon Johnson is probably the longest vet that's been on the Spurs the longest. And he's just kind of shows the Spurs way to everybody who comes in, right? So I think, like you said, I think this is a team to watch. I think it's going to be interesting to see where they are, you know, rated as far as the odds makers, as far as, you know, making the playoffs or even winning a championship next year. I would say that they're going to be climbing pretty high on the odds side because of just their culmination.
And all of this is on the presumption that Wemby recovers, he's able to play a full season. There's no lasting effects for his current condition. And then the only other thing, and I don't want to like minimize this because, you know, but the other thing is the status of Popovich, right? Popovich had a mild stroke during the season. Will he come back next year? I mean, you know, he's had a lot of good assistant coaches, you know, Budenholzer being one of them. I mean, they're all over the league. You know, so I think that he empowers his coaches, and I feel confident that whoever takes over from his staff would do a good job. But I think that having Pop there would give that little oomph and, you know, would make them, you know, a little bit better going into next year. So hopefully Pop's back, you know, Wemby's cleared. And if those two things happen, I think that they're going to be a force.
I agree, bro. I agree, man.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Well, dude, wait, dude, we did it, man. We covered all 10 teams, man. We actually went about an hour and a half. This is one of our longer segments, but we have a lot of good content. We went ahead and covered the play-ins games that just happened. There's a couple games that are happening today. We should have the playoff picture all fully understood by Friday because that's when the last play-in games are happening. So we shall see what happens. But we went ahead, Twan and I also did a bracket challenge, right? A bracket challenge for the NBA playoffs. We actually put a point system to it. We did the same thing last year. We're doing it again this year, but the only wrinkle is that we're putting 2 points if you get the amount of games right, you know, for that team to win, right? So we're going to go ahead and share the results as we keep going on a weekly basis because Twan and I are all about contests, right? And the other segment that we talked about is just the firings that happened with Mike Budenholzer, Mike Malone, and Taylor Jenkins, and kind of our thoughts around, you know, what that means for the organization, how kind of a bad look it can give to certain organizations, especially in the timing of when they did these things, right? And then the last segment that we covered is we did 10 teams. The 10 teams that did not make the playoffs, we went ahead and did an analysis of each of those teams. We did a slide for each of those teams, give you our assessment of what they need to do for next year. A few of these teams are on the rise. I think a few of these teams you're going to see no longer as the teams that are going to be eliminated next year. So that's pretty much it, man. That's our show for today. We went ahead, like I said, covered all that. We are here every Wednesday live, Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. We'd like to go ahead and get your comments, your questions. You know, we're here for a reason because we want to hear from you, all right? I'm Eddie Aparicio. This is Anthony Twan Corral. We are also known as the Cisco Kids. You can find us at gremlingsmedia.com. You can also find us on any podcast outlets you can think of, such as Spotify, Google, Pandora, X, Facebook, you name it. You can find us. Just make sure you type in Gremlings Media. Also, you can also type in Buzzer Beaters. Anyway, I'm Eddie Aparicio. This is Anthony Twan Corral. We're going to go ahead and sign off. Have a good rest of the week, and we'll see you here next Wednesday. Thanks.